6:15.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hannay's Adams at First Street presents transcribed Meredith Harless interviewing screen star Susan Peters. But first, a poignant reminder. Every parent has dreams for his child, but last year, more than 33,000 such dreams were shattered. Infantile paralysis struck more than 33,000 in the second worst epidemic ever recorded. And now new dreams are being built. Dreams of being able to walk once more. You can help build those dreams by sending dimes and dollars to your local March of Dimes headquarters. Help make their dreams come true. Join the 1951 March of Dimes. Now, Meredith Harless.
Good evening. This is Meredith Harless broadcasting to you from backstage at the Sombrero Theater Playhouse here in Phoenix. Believe me, the excitement of opening night, the hustle and bustle of stagehands, the smell of grease paint, technicians, prop men, the actors and actresses themselves getting ready for this first night performance is really exciting. As most of you know, the Barretts of Wimpole Street opens here tonight at 8:30 o'clock. There are several outstanding personalities here whom we know you will want to hear from. Certainly, the most exciting one, and the one we're most anxious to hear from, is lovely Susan Peters, Hollywood actress, star of stage, radio, and screen. This vivacious actress, here to play the role of Elizabeth in the Barretts of Wimpole Street at the Sombrero Theater Playhouse, was injured some 6 years ago and expects never to walk again. A young star who had just reached the top when her spinal cord was severed in a hunting accident, Miss Peters was determined not to let misfortune interfere with her career or her life. It gives me the greatest pleasure in the world to present to our radio audience Susan Peters.
Thank you very much, Meredith, for the delightful introduction.
Well, Susan, it's wonderful to have you here in Phoenix, Arizona. Is it your first trip here?
Yes, it is.
Well, we know you like us.
Indeed I do, Meredith.
Are you going to stay beyond the term of the theater here?
Yes, I'll spend another 2 or 3 days here.
How wonderful. And
I want to see the next show.
Good. And what is the next show?
Oh, dear.
Is it Kirk Douglas?
Yes,
in Detective Story.
Detective Story. That's right, Mary.
Wonderful. It also has had a wonderful press, but I don't believe anyone in town is more excited than I am about seeing your performance here tonight. How long have you been playing in this role of Elizabeth?
Well, I toured last winter for 7 months with it, Meredith.
7 months on tour?
Yes, all over the East and the Midwest and the South, and we closed in Washington. We opened a theater there, Meredith, by the way.
In Washington, D.C.?
Yes, the National Theater has been closed, you know, for some time.
Yes,
and
I do know.
We took over the Gaiety Theater, which was a burlesque.
Yes.
And completely redid it. And believe it or not, all of the people came. The wrong side of the track. See, Barrett's
No. Do you mean the cabinet members and the members?
And Vice President Barkley and Mrs. Barkley.
Oh, what an exciting first night audience for you. You closed there.
Yes,
Well, I think it's wonderful that you have brought theater back to the nation's capital, where certainly we should have all the culture in the world, since it is the capital of the world today.
Yes, well, they were starving for theater when we arrived there. We played for 2 weeks and could have played for 2 weeks longer.
Well, we've been starving for theater here, too, and we're so grateful to Ann Lee and Dick Carlton for bringing the Sombrero Theater to us, and particularly for bringing such fine actors and actresses as yourself, Susan.
Well, thank you very much, Meredith.
What other plays have you been in other than the Barretts of Wimpole Street?
I've been Glass Menagerie.
Oh, what part did you play?
Laura, the daughter.
Laura, yes.
And it's rather an interesting thing because I did it in the Theater of the Round in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, did you? What type of theater is that? I wonder
if
everyone understands.
Without any scenery whatsoever.
No sets, no props.
Oh, you have props.
Oh, you do?
Yes, you have furniture and your hand props. But the audience works on all four sides of you, and the four corners are open so that you can make your exits from the corners. And to me, it was very interesting because it's very much like picture work, like working just before a camera.
I see. You can see all four sides at the same time.
As a matter of fact, a very strange thing happened to me. I was waiting for my second act entrance in a little alleyway, and this man came up to me, and he was very inebriated, and he said, "Wouldn't you like me to push you on so you could see better?" And I said, "No, thank you very much." And he said, "Well, Rita, you can hear better." And I said, "No, thank you." And with that, I called my nurse, and she wheeled me on. And I'm supposed to go on and meet my gentleman caller, and I feel myself being propelled on. And I look back, and I'm about to have to go on and say, "Mother, I came with a second gentleman caller," when an usherette picked him up and took him back and put him on an elevator and sent him back downstairs to the bar where he belonged.
Susan, you are always in a wheelchair.
Yes, I am, except when I'm in my car, which I drive myself, as hand-controlled.
Oh, really? Well, how do you travel? How do you manage to travel all over the country like this?
Well, I had my car driven here by my cousin, and I flew with my nurse. And he met me at the plane. Unfortunately, the tire was flat just as the plane rolled in, and we were right in the way of the plane.
Oh, no.
So I had to do a little waiting in the station.
Well, we certainly admire your courage, Susan, in every way. You certainly haven't deviated a bit since your accident, have you? You just progressed.
It doesn't really take courage when people are so wonderful to me.
What do you mean by that?
Well, for instance, the first party I went to, I wasn't well enough to sit up, so I went in an ambulance. And it was my first party.
Where was the party?
Lucille Ball.
Oh, yes.
Had it and gave it for me. And Lionel Barrymore was there in his chair. And he put me very much at ease. He said, young lady, I've been in this for years. I'm getting along famously. And consequently, I became very much at ease.
Well, I think that is wonderful when you get encouragement from a man like Lionel Barrymore. Is his condition arthritic? Is that the problem?
Yes, it is. He's been very much improved lately. It's like polio. There's great chance for improvement.
Yes, there is. And, of course, the National Foundation of Infantile Paralysis, as you know, is conducting a wonderful program, a research program, and doing so very much to find the serum that will banish this dread disease of polio.
Yes.
Our March of Dimes campaign opened here yesterday, you know.
Oh, did it, Meredith?
Yes. Perhaps you read about the Mother's March last night in the paper.
Yes, I did, come to think about it.
That was originated here in Arizona.
Oh, was it?
Yes, and now it's taking place all over the entire United States. We're very proud of those people. As a matter of fact, Charlie Hoover down on the Arizona Republic and Gazette and Dick Fitzpatrick dreamed the idea up, and they have seen it through. It's been a brilliant success. And this year, of course, will be bigger and better than ever. Have you not been on radio, Susan?
Yes, I've done some radio, but not this last year, Meredith. I've been touring.
Have you planned any television shows?
Yes, I did five that are at NBC now in audition.
Oh, wonderful.
So I should hear before too long about that.
Oh, grand. Well, then will you be televisioning, so to speak, from the coast or
New
York?
No, it'll be in the East.
In the East.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, aren't you a mother?
Yes, I have a 4.5-year-old son who will go right along with me.
Timothy, isn't
yes.
it?
Timothy joined me on a tour last winter over the holidays. And I tried to explain to him what I was doing when I went to work. So I had my nurse bring him to the play. And in the first act, when the father is forcing me to drink porter, my son, in this very loud voice, says, what is that man doing to my mother?
No.
And I prayed that my nurse would take him off, which she finally did. And as I went off to make my second act change, he's coming around the corner, and the father is sort of leaning in the doorway, and he balls up his fist and hauls off and hits him in the stomach. He says, you can't treat my mother that way. So I had to take him aside and explain to him what it was like, but he'd never caught on, Meredith. He still thought I was unhappy.
Well, Timothy must be a darling from what I've read about him. I'm sorry I haven't seen him. Even though I've known you for some years, Susan, I think you're a better friend of my sister Mary.
Yes,
aren't
I've
you?
Known Mary for a long, long time.
You were both at MGM Studio
about
the same time.
Yes, we were at Metro, and we did a lot of work for the USO together.
Oh, did you? I didn't know that. You know, Deli has a new play, Mary's Husband, Second Threshold.
Oh.
And we have a lovely girl here from Phoenix, Sally Brophy, who's also in the play in New York.
Oh, how wonderful.
So we're very proud of our Phoenix little actress, Sally Brophy. What were some of your favorite movies? You've done so many.
Well, I think my very favorite was Random Harvest with Greer Garson and Ronald Coleman.
Why would you say it was your very favorite?
Well, to be quite honest with you, because I was nominated for the Academy Award.
That's a good enough reason, isn't it? And you certainly deserved it.
It was a delightful part. And then I enjoyed the last picture I made since I was injured, The Sign of the Ram.
The Sign
it
of the Ram.
It was a completely different type of part than I've ever played. It was unsympathetic.
That is true. You usually do play a sympathetic role, even prior to your accident, didn't you?
Yes, always. Mm-hmm. Metro believes that all of their stars should lead happy lives.
Well, I certainly think so, too. And not only stars, I think it's a lovely idea for all of us, don't you?
I think so.
What actor have you enjoyed working with the most, would you say?
Mary,
on the screen
I'd rather
now.
Not answer that one. They've all been charming to me.
Oh, no. Isn't there one who's very fascinating?
All of them, Meredith. That's putting me on the spot.
What prompted your movie career?
It was purely by accident. I took drama as a fifth solid to get out of college.
Where was this?
At Hollywood High.
Oh, yes.
And I was working for a scholarship to go to Stanford to medical school. And the day before I graduated, I went in to get my card, and I all but flunked drama. And this man was standing there, and I heard him say, I'd like to meet this young lady. And Mr. Cater said, oh, you don't want to meet her. I just about flunked her. So he did want to meet me, and he was going to do a picture for Saul Lesser. So I went to see Saul, and I was too young, and I was given a scholarship to Max Reinhardt. And from there on in, I decided to stay in it for 3 years, and I'd make enough money if I didn't succeed to go on to medical school. And if I did, I'd stay in it. And I stayed in, and I've been in it ever since.
And here you are, right here in Phoenix, where we're so thrilled to have you. Tell me this. What picture were you making at the time of your accident?
I just finished Keep Your Powder Dry with Lana Turner and Lorraine Day.
You had just finished
just
it, so you didn't have any retakes or anything at all to do?
It was on New Year's Day that I shot myself. We went duck
hunting. Did you shoot yourself?
Yes, I picked up a gun. The stock was broken from the barrel, and the man whose gun belonged to was so excited and that he put the bullet back in the barrel, and I picked it up. It was pointed toward me, and it caught on a twig. And the gun went off, and I'm paralyzed.
Well, I must say, you certainly have not changed your life in any way at all. You just proceed, and in fact, seem to do even much more than before, don't you?
Well...
Do you find you have more time to do more things?
No, I don't have enough time.
Is that it?
I tell you, there isn't enough time in a day for me.
Well, I don't know how you accomplish all the things you do. When the doctor first told you of your injury, how did he tell you, and what was your reaction?
Well, he was particularly wonderful because it was the third day I'd been injured, and I regained consciousness and asked him if I'd ever walk again. And my mother had told him to tell me the truth, because the one thing I always hated was to be told a lie to. So the doctor said, Miss Peters, as a doctor, he said, I cannot ever tell you that you'll walk again. He said, but miracles have happened. And he said, I've seen them happen. So he said, anything can happen to you. So I've believed that ever since. And now, after 4 years, however, the cord was crushed. Unless they find some way of splicing cords, then I'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life.
Well, then you really don't feel that there will be any hope for you.
No.
Unless there's a new discovery.
Not for me, but of course, that's very different from polio. You know, there's always hope for a polio patient.
Indeed there is, and particularly when there are so many people bending every effort and lending all of their energy to find a cause to cure polio. Here in Arizona, it's been a very heart-rendering thing for me, working as a volunteer in the polio program, to see how everyone is doing everything they possibly can to help this March of Dimes campaign. It opened here on the 15th and will last through the 31st. Perhaps you have a message for our polio patients. We have about 652 right here, you know. And I know they'd love to hear from you particularly, Susan.
Only, Meredith, for them to go on living their lives as naturally and normally as they possibly can. But I'd rather give my message to the people around them. It's very important for their family and friends to treat them exactly the same as before they contracted polio.
In other words, when there is a handicapped person, they're no different than...
No, we think...
Anyone else.
The same as you do. And I want people to be just as nasty to me or just as kind as they ever were.
In other words, no sympathy.
No, it's not necessary at all. Can't use sympathy.
No. Well, that's a very nice and encouraging message. And thank you, Susan Peters. We look forward to seeing your performance this evening at the Sombrero Theater Playhouse at 8:30, the opening of The Barretts of Wimple Street, in which you play the leading role. It's a real pleasure to have you on our program. And may I tell our listeners to tune in at the same time next week, when we will bring to the Arizona Close-Ups Robert Lawrence, the conductor of the Phoenix Symphony Orchestra. This is Meredith Harless saying good night.
Yes, join us again next week for Hanny's Arizona Close-Ups, when Mrs. Meredith Harless will have as guest Robert Lawrence, conductor of the Phoenix Symphony Orchestra. Give a dime, give a dollar. That's what infantile paralysis victims are hoping you'll do right now, hoping you'll lend them a hand by joining the 1951 March of Dimes. Fight infantile paralysis. In the Valley of the Sun, it's easy to get shopping done. Visit Hanny's at Adams and First Street. For service and quality, Hanny's cannot be beat.
This is KTAR in Phoenix.